This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday. We're going to dig into Vance Rogan. Someone wants to know how to run for office. Someone has a question about Sidney Poitier. I just wanted to say the names. It makes me sound extremely fancy. Someone wants to know about Marine General John Kelly, how he lost his way. We'll get back to the calls in a bit. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly. So the Jay Steele, this guy says, and the subject is aggressive female drivers. Curious about your opinion of the on the rise a very aggressive female drivers. I was driving home from the gym this morning on a curvy road back to my house when this young lady started tailgating me about 2 feet behind the bumper of my truck. Naturally, I slowed down to about 10 miles an hour and stuck my head out the window to voice my displeasure at her rudeness. She continued to tailgate me all the way to my turnoff while honking and giving me several hand gestures. I bet I know what those hand gestures were, too. It seems like this sort of thing is becoming more and more common, that women are the culprit of these more than men. My theory is the whole girl boss thing, so on and so forth. And this is from a guy named Chris. Don't worry, there were no misspellings, so it is not Jewish producer Chris in the email. Now, back to the email. Buddy, you completely misinterpreted the whole thing. She wasn't being aggressive when she started tailgating you. She was putting on her makeup, okay? And the reason she didn't back off is as soon as her makeup was applied, she was putting up a selfie on Instagram while she drove. You say she was making hand gestures at you. She was drying off the nails she painted while she was driving down the road. This is simply a misinterpretation. Don't sit there and indict women for the whole thing. Uncle Kunkel in Colorado, go.
Hey, Jesse. So I want your opinion on the rank. Everybody's saying, oh, we can't blame the rank and file for the corruption, when we all know poop rolls downhill. And it's the corrupt, uppity folks that hire them. Tell me your opinion on that. Also, if you would want to do history on Hoover and the founding of the FBI and just how corrupt it was in its implementation, that would be awesome.
You know, I actually really like that. Chris, remind me of that. We are going to do a history on Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, the founding of the FBI, and how that stuff began. I am going to do that, as a matter of fact. I'm not saying next week, probably not because of the election, but soon, before the end of the year, I'm going to try to get that done. Okay, so we're going to do a J. Edgar Hoover. I like that idea a lot. Two, this is something that people on the right say that makes me want to throw myself off a bridge. Every single time I hear it, it's not the rank and file. It's just the leadership. Yep, that is. With all due respect, I understand the reference is way overused these days, courtesy of Democrats. That is the exact same argument that the Nazi camp guards used at the Nuremberg trials as they oversaw the death of about 6 million Jews. Virtually every single one of them said, I was just following orders. I was just a rank and file guy. It's not my fault. I was just a rank and file guy. If you are listening to this and you are an FBI agent and you spend your time kicking in the door of pro-lifers because the evil communists in the government who love to murder babies got angry about the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and they sent you after pro-lifers. I don't care that you were following orders. I don't care but about my pension. I don't care about any of these things. You are an evil piece of trash scumbag. I don't care whether or not you gave the orders or not. I am tired of people using that excuse all the time. Buck up, Buttercup. What they're doing is evil and wrong. And, you know, we have these brave guys like Steve Friend who gave up their... You realize Steve Friend, he was a special agent. He was a super stud. We're talking fast track to a career and retirement and gave it all up because he would not do these things anymore. He was on child pornography cases, tracking down the biggest pieces of trash in this country, and they pulled him off to go hunt down peaceful meemaws from January 6th, and that was about all he could take. And he said, you know what? I'm out. He's got the guts. What's your excuse? Sorry, I got myself fired up. Voicemail.
Hey, Oracle, whatever happened to all the chatter about your midlife crisis car? What kind is it? Does it have a tiny steering wheel for your mini mittens? Let the bar eat.
You know what? You don't deserve the bar. I do not have small hands. And I guess now I should probably go ahead and tell everybody that I traded in my midlife crisis car, and I got another one.
Jesse, I'm just curious, going into this election weekend, maybe you can kind of retell that story. It was about a year ago. If your child needed a surgery and you wanted the best surgeon in the world, I thought that might be pretty relevant. Also, how did you get into a mortar unit with such small hands?
You know, voicemails were a mistake, Chris. I don't know that we need to want to keep doing these anymore. These were a terrible, terrible mistake. All right, back to in case you're just now joining the show or a brand new listener, what he's referencing is when I was going off about all this obsession with DEI stuff that people have today. We have to, we need more women. We don't have enough gays. We don't have enough minorities. Do we have enough Pacific Islanders? Do we have enough that it's all completely ridiculous, because when the rubber meets the road, you find out what really, really, really matters. And the example I always used was, if you pick the person in your life who you love the most, maybe it's your husband or your wife or your child or something like that, and they needed brain surgery, and it was going to be a brain surgery that was almost impossible. They told you it was going to be an almost impossible brain surgery. Their chances of survival are very, very slim. And you got to interview the doctors who would be doing the brain surgery. The last thing in the world that would ever matter to you at all would be the skin color, the religion, the sex of the doctor. You would not care in a million years. Save my baby. Save my wife. Save my husband, save my whoever it is. I don't care. Only merit matters. Well, if that's how we operate when it's someone close to us, shouldn't that be how we operate everything in society? Every single thing? The most overrated thing in the world. You know, we rail against equity now because equity is a dirty communist rule. The most overrated thing in the world, and something that doesn't even exist, is also equality. We're not equal. I'm not equal to you. You're not equal to me. No one's equal to the guy on the side. We're not. No one's equal to each other, because God made us all different, with different skill sets and things. Equality, completely overrated. I believe in discrimination. I am anti-equality, and I am pro-discrimination. I discriminate. When we were hiring, you know, we lost producer Michael a while ago. He went on to do other career things, and we were on a search for a producer. Me and Chris were on a search for a producer. There were no gender requirements. There were no race requirements. There were no religious requirements. Did not care, because we care about the show. The only thing that mattered was finding the best person we could find. Now, we couldn't find that guy, so we ended up getting stuck with Corey, but you understand what I mean. We wanted to find the best person we could find. Sometimes that doesn't work out, in which case you settle for Corey. You understand what I'm discussing here. But honestly, as an entire society, every bit of it, your T-ball team, I don't care what it is, equality, bring me the best. Don't care about anything else. Bring me the best. All right. 877-377-4373. Lady wants to get involved in running for office and many other things. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we are going to keep churning through these questions and everything else. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hi, Jesse. My mom and I love your show. I'm currently watching J.D. Vance on Joe Rogan, and I was inspired to ask this question, and I felt like you'd be the best source to ask. Is it possible for a, quote, nobody to become a congressman? For context, I'm a 34-year-old single divorced mom in California working on a bachelor's in education and lower than low income. I want to be a teacher to reverse the indoctrination of the next generation and literally, I know she did that on purpose, combat communism, but I often consider public office. Do you have any advice? Is this a hopeless endeavor in California? Thank you for your time. Okay, first of all, this is going to sound like I'm being nice, but I think anybody who listens to the show, she said she listens regularly with her mom, knows that I'm the furthest thing in the world from being nice. I'm not being nice to you. I'm being direct with you. Don't ever refer to yourself to me as a nobody again. I'm a nobody. I'm a this or that. If you ever got to know the weapons-grade losers and idiots we have in office right now, you would never talk down about yourself like that again. The biggest morons, the biggest evil jerks I've ever met in my life are the people who are currently in office. You're not just a single divorced mom. You're a patriot who cares about your country. There are many, many, many people, men and women, who share your story, share your life experiences, and share your enthusiasm. You are not a nobody at all. Don't ever say that to me again. The people who are in there, those are the nobodies. The normal people, everyone listening right now, whoever you are, whatever you happen to be doing in your life, you're exactly what we need if you love your country and want what's best for your country. You're not a nobody at all. As far as, is it hopeless in California? California has more Republicans than any other state in the union. Statewide? Now, look, I'd be honest with you. If you told me, Jesse, I want to run for governor in California, don't bother. It's a blue state. It's going to be blue for the foreseeable future. I'm not blowing sunshine up. I can't say that. I'm not saying anything else. But there are all kinds of red, blood red areas in California. If you are in one of those areas, if you're in a red or reddish congressional district, and you want to run, go run. But Jesse, what if I lose? What if you lose? I lost twice. I was a nobody. I was not politically involved. I'd gotten out of the Marines. I was back to work in construction, and I was going to community college when I decided to run. I'd never so much as sniffed at a run at city council or something. I don't even think I was a registered Republican when I first started running because I got so mad at the Republicans. I think I went independent or something like that for a while. I wasn't politically involved at all. You would have called me a nobody. I almost won. I was 4,000 votes away from winning. But what if you don't? You say you don't have any money. What if you don't end up getting the fundraising you need? What if you don't? What did you lose? Running for office and losing is one of the most informative, valuable experiences of my life. If for no other reason you say you're a single mother, my sons know. Now, they were too young to see then, but they know now. Dad cared enough to get involved. Dad cared enough to get off the couch and get freaking involved. Go throw yourself into it. You might just be good at it. And I can't give out her name because she didn't say I could. Remember, I'm never going to read your name unless you tell me I can. She has one of those hot chick names. What, Chris? Listen, it's important. She's probably a looker too. That only helps. Everything helps. Go for it. Get out there. You're not a nobody. Friggin' matter a lot. Debbie, Harrisburg, go.
The investigation that James Comer and Jim Jordan were doing with the Biden crime family has seemed to go dark. Do you think that might have been part of the Biden deal for him to step aside? And with regards to Kamala, she loves her gummies.
Okay, first of all, pause, Debbie, before we move on. I'm not even going to hang up on you yet. Did everyone hear Debbie just now? I just want to say that's exactly how phone calls are done. I think Debbie's been on the line for an hour and a half. I said, Debbie, go, and it was boom, right into her point. I wish I could clone you, Debbie. I wish I could clone you. That was freaking magnificent. Two, gummies, when you say Harris is into gummies, I'm assuming you're talking about weed there. I guess it could be a maybe. She does sound like a complete moron half the time. And three, no, look, Jim Jordan's a good guy. And you know how much I'm willing to crush people in Congress. More than happy to crush Republicans. In fact, it's one of my favorite things to do in the world, smashing weak Republicans. Jim Jordan, he is the very, very, very rare case of a Republican who rises into a high-up leadership position. He's chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Chris, that's actually harder to think than you say. Chairman of the Judiciary Committee. It's harder. Anyway, he rose to that position without completely selling out his soul. Now, is he perfect? Of course he's not freaking perfect. Not perfect at all. But for a guy in leadership, he's pretty freaking good. Would Jim Jordan sell us out on behalf of Joe Biden? I'd be surprised. I'm not saying it's impossible. You know, anything is possible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'd be extremely surprised. All right? All right. Jesse, is it possible that a Marine officer reaches four stars? How is it possible that a Marine officer reaches four stars and could become as evil and not caring about his son being killed in combat? Okay, so this is it's a little messed up email-wise, but he's talking about General John Kelly. And clearly this guy's a Marine. And he wants to know, how in the world could you lose your son in combat and be a four-star general and be such an unbelievable disgrace? How could John Kelly disgrace himself the way he is? And, well, there's an answer to this, and I'm going to give it to you, and it may not feel good. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we are getting to all these questions here, as many as we possibly can tonight. So I want to discuss John Kelly, Marine General John Kelly, that traitorous piece of trash who just obviously came out and told a bald-faced lie about, hey, Trump loved Hitler, and always talk about Hitler and things like that. Trying to give Democrats a talking point. And the guy writes an email and says, how in the world could a Marine officer, he lost his son in combat. How could this happen to a Marine? And a Marine who lost his son, how could a guy like that turn into such a traitorous piece of trash? So I'll tell you a little story. This is a friend of mine. I'm not going to name him. But he's a friend of mine who had a lot of success in his career. And it was actually a media career. He's a media guy. You would know his name, even though maybe you haven't thought of him in a while. He had a lot of success in a media career and then ended up with a drinking problem. Had a real fall from grace, okay? Had a real, real fall from grace. But during the height of his media career, he was wined and dined. And I'll put it to you this way. Do you know people spend a fortune? Think of, Tucker. I'm actually not going to say this specifically about Tucker because I don't know this for a fact, but someone of that clout, someone in the media world of that clout, you want to hear how crazy that can get? People will pay $50,000 to have dinner with him. Now, I don't know that that's happened to Tucker, but that's how crazy that world can get. I'll make it about me. I had, this is not here or there, but I had a billionaire offer me one time. He offered to put me on a private jet and fly me from here to New Mexico to have dinner with him. I didn't ask about money or anything. I just said, no, that's not my thing, but isn't that insane? Who am I? What different? But that's the kind of whining and dining and pampering you get once people think you're famous. Okay, so this friend of mine, when he was at his peak, that's the life he lived. It was first class. It was steaks, five-star hotels. He flew on private jets. And when he went to events, these huge events, whatever they were, whether it was CPAC or something like that, it was always VIP badges. Here's your special entrance. You don't wait in line. That's how he lived his life. And then he had his terrible fall from grace, and he ended up getting his life back together, which is wonderful. I love that. Proud of him. But even though his life got back together, he never became a star again. It never happened again. And he attended this huge conservative event one time, one he had been to a million times when he was a star and his name was on the billboards and everything else. Only he attended this event. They did give him a free ticket, but it wasn't even a good one. He found himself sitting where you or I would sit, just sitting in the crowd. And he said, "Jesse, I know there's nothing wrong with sitting in the crowd, but I'll be honest with you, if I'm just being honest, we were just having it was a private moment." He said, "I was so offended that I went from backstage, VIP, green room, to now I'm just sitting in the crowd. It was such a fall from a fall of status, I guess I should put it that way, for him, that it was hard for him to take." Now let's talk about John Kelly. Let's talk about a general, a flag officer. I've never lived in that world, that flag officer world, but I've been close enough to it to know. You live your life in the military, and yes, you work hard, and you maybe even risk your life, especially when you're of lower rank. Our generals don't generally do that anymore, but when you're of lower rank, you risk your life, and it's hard, and it's time away from your family and things like that. But as you begin to rise and you start to become full bird colonel, brigadier general, major general, you start to get some stars on your uniform, you have a staff of 20 at your beck and call. Your housing on base, it's the nicest house on base. They manicure your lawn for you. You want to take the wife out to dinner? Maybe you feel like having a couple extra cocktails that night. Oh, you just call up some lackey of yours and he'll pull up in your staff vehicle and drive you to and fro. "Hey, I'm hungry. Go get me a bagel." That's what Chris would say. And your lackey will go get you a bagel. "Go pick up my dry cleaning." You, as a general, begin to live the life of this really, really important CEO. Almost royalty. Cars and private planes. And hey, general, they want you in San Francisco. They've sent the government Learjet for you. And that's how you live your life. And then you retire. When you retire, all that goes away. And it's not that you're poor by any means. If you retire as a general, you'll probably make huge money, which I'm $250,000 a year. That's a guess. I'm real, real close though. $250,000 a year, big boy money. $250,000 a year. So don't get me wrong, you're not in the poorhouse, but staff is gone. Private jet, whew, gone. If you want to take the wife out and have a couple extra drinks, well, he's got to do what you and I do. I just took an Uber from the airport. That's the same thing you have to do. You want to go out and have too much to drink? You got to take an Uber. General's back in an Uber. Now picture, let's say he was a general for 10, 15 years with the staff and the manicured lawns and the private jets. Picture retiring in Boca, $250,000 a year. Great money, don't get me wrong, but you're not even on the beach for $250,000 a year. You're a couple miles off the beach in a 1,500 square foot condo, and you and your wife walk down to the local bar and grill, and no one knows or cares that you used to be in the military. You ate some yummy clams last night. Doesn't sound bad, but the status change, especially for men, is just too much to take. Lots of times, especially for a general, I'm proud. Look at my medals. Look at my ribbons. Look what I've done. I'm John Kelly. Now nobody cares. And then there's a knock at your door and someone's there with an offer for you. You see, "Hey, general, you served this country well. You want that staff back? Hey, you know what? Why don't you come up to Washington, D.C.? I've got my private jet standing by. We'll discuss the million or 2 million a year opportunity we have for you to work at Boeing. And of course, you'll do some lobbying work, of course. And somebody, when you're in the private sector, presents to you the life you've always lived. Can you say no? If you say yes, well, there's a cost to that. You say yes, sure, you're going to get the jet back and you're not 2 miles off the beach anymore in Boca. You're right down there with your feet in the sand, but they're going to want you to lie about Donald Trump and say he loved Hitler. That's part of the cost of your system membership card. And no matter what you've done previously in your life, you lost your son, you served with honor at some point, you served with honor, all these things. At some point in time, you decided that life, the good life, that's the only life you want to live. And if you got to tell a couple little white lies about Donald Trump praising Adolf Hitler, well, have you ever flown on a private jet? Totally worth it. I'm sorry, but generals sell out. Almost all of them do. It's rare to find a flag officer who doesn't, because once you taste the good life, the life of being a general, it's hard to go back and sit with the peasants after that. I know that sucks to hear, but as soon as somebody starts getting stars on his shoulders, you should probably stop considering him whatever he used to be. You know, Mark Milley was a warrior at one point in time, too. Now he's a tubby piece of trash. There you go. All right, we'll get into as many of these emails as I possibly can. Speaking of veterans who served honorably, you know, the CEO of Pure Talk walked the jungles of Vietnam. Did you know that? You obviously know, if you listen at all, how much respect I have for the guys who fought over there in that jungle. CEO of Pure Talk was Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. All the causes Pure Talk could take up, and Pure Talk decided they were going to take up the cause of veterans, getting them the health care they need, the help they need. That's the cell phone company I support. What one do you support? You want to switch from AT&T or T-Mobile? Save a bunch of money? Support a company like that? Pick up that cell phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm sorry, but I realize everyone's going to catch this midstream, but Chris, you can't drop a bomb like that on me right when we're coming back from a break. Why are you going to ride a bicycle for 170 miles? What is this? Over the course of 2 days, you say a friend wanted to do it. Is there a better explanation than that? My friends want to do a lot of things. Hey, this isn't for charity or anything like that. Do you have any idea what your butt is going to feel like after 2 days on the road on a bicycle? Do you have any idea? You're going to feel like you partied with Pete Buttigieg that night. 2 days? What is wrong with you? And now you have to be the annoying cyclist guy? I could totally see you riding right down the middle of the road too. And God only knows what kind of cheap garbage street bike you have. You probably built your own. It'll probably fall apart so you could save 55 cents on the thing. Oh, please videotape this. Please. I'm begging you. Please, Corey, please, can you line him up with some kind of a GoPro or something? Hey, you know what? I bet you GovX has a deal on GoPros or something. I was actually on GovX earlier today. And here's something you do need. I got 30% off rechargeable headlamps. And since we all know you're going to have a real hard time getting to what, 170? What is that? I don't know. I didn't. 55 miles a day? That's right, right? No, that's not even close to being right at all. 85 miles a day. Shut up. Anyway, you need a rechargeable headlamp. And if you're law enforcement, current or former, military, current or former, or a teacher, current or former, you can get what I got today, and that's 30% off at govx.com. And I know this is music to your ears, Chris, with the promo code Jesse, $15 off your first purchase. It's $15 free. Chris, you're going to need that headlamp, but you're going to need that and a butt pad. So, and maybe those are on GovX too. I don't know. govx.com, promo code Jesse, rechargeable headlamps, possible butt pads. You're going to need a lot, Chris. 170 miles. What a chump. What a sucker. Jesse, every now and again, I'll stumble upon a Sidney Poitier film, and I've always seen his roles as a man of decent morals and upstanding character, yet in some circles, he's seen as an Uncle Tom. I think the roles he plays help smooth over racial divides of the time in without shoving DEI crap down everyone's throats. Okay, well, look, I'll just say this. I don't know anything about the black experience or any of that Uncle Tom stuff, but I only know what I've seen in my life, and here's what I know. This actually crosses racial lines big time. If you get around people who are having a hard time at it, a poor neighborhood, a poor family, a poor area, the guy who makes it, breaks out, makes it out, he is not always well received in his hometown. What's that verse in the Bible about a prophet's hated in his hometown? The guy who breaks out and makes it, and I have seen this personally in my family life, not with me, but in my family life, I've seen this up close and personal. I won't get into details. From blue collar, hard scrabble, barely making it, and then boom, someone just makes it for whatever reason, genius, luck, whatever. He is almost always trashed by the people who are still stuck there and jealous. Now, I don't know whether this applies to Sidney Poitier or what exactly or that specific instance, but it transcends racial lines. The old lobster in a bucket mentality where one's almost climbing out and the other's grabbing. Is it crabs in a bucket, Chris? I'm sure lobsters do the same thing. Whatever, you can't even eat them, Chris. Hey, Shaquille O'Neal's business partner. Do you endorse McDonald's Chicken Big Mac? What's your go-to at McDonald's, and are you a Big Mac guy? And do you have to cut it in half so your small hands can hold it? You know what? That's not nice. No, I do not endorse the Chicken Big Mac in any... No, absolutely. I'm out on that. Two, yes, I do. My go-to order at McDonald's, I get a Big Mac with extra cheese. There's no excuse to have one slice of cheese when you have two patties, three slices of bread, all that lettuce that's everywhere. There needs to be two slices of cheese in there, not just for the flavor to bind everything together, but good old-fashioned double cheeseburgers from McD's are as good as anything. That, and then we have McDonald's breakfast. They used to have those sausage burritos on something that was called the dollar menu. Remember the dollar menu? The dollar menu was amazing. You could roll into McD's for $3 and get two burritos and an orange juice and just Kamala those things down on the road. It was amazing. Buenos dias, Senor Sombrero, and buenos dias to you.
Buenas tardes.
Your show helped me heal from heart surgery last week. Thank you for that. And you settled a debate for me. My argument is Arby's is the best fast food you could get. Boy, that's tough. That's real tough. I don't know if I'll go best fast food you can get, but about once a year, I try to not eat as much fast food anymore. I try to stay away from fast food. About once a year, the wife and I will feel like grunging it out, and she never eats that crap. But about once a year, one of us will perk up and say, hey, feeling kind of fat and lazy today. How about Arby's? And the second one of us suggests it, the other one will automatically say, oh my gosh, yes, why don't we do this more? And delivers every time. Oh, and I'll give you another little tidbit from the Menu Whisperer, something you may not know. Most people don't know. The cherry turnover at Arby's. If you don't count Subway's cookies, and I don't really count Subway as fast food because it's more high-end sandwiches, the cherry turnover at Arby's is the best fast food dessert there is. Chris, you've never even had one. Why are you making that face? You've never, You don't like cherries? Did I say eat cherries, Chris? It's a cherry turnover. We all know it's Arby's. It's probably nuclear chemicals in there. There's probably not even half a percentage point of actual cherries in there, Chris. What is wrong? I don't like cherries. Gosh, what a nerd. Ask Dr. Jesse question for Friday. Can you explain the Electoral College, why it's good or bad, how it works, who it is? Okay, I did not mean to get to this question at the very end of the show, so I'll make this as rapid as humanly possible. Highly recommend you dig into it yourselves, but okay, you know every state gets two senators, right? Every state gets so many congressmen. How many congressmen? It's dependent on what the census says about how many people are in your state. All right? Shut up, Chris. I know we're up against the clock. If you keep interrupting, it makes us take longer. Anyway, so you take your two senators and however many congressmen your state has, add that number together. So if your state has two senators and 10 congressmen, that makes what? 12, no big deal, went to community college. That's how many electoral college points, essentially, is how I'm going to put it for now, your state gets in the presidential election. Does that make sense? Look, I could go into a lot more detail, but we're up against the clock and I'm irresponsible. So there, I hope that explained it. Now, I'm not even going to tell you to put your phone down. Go politic this weekend. Make phone calls. Knock on doors. Get out the vote. All gas, no brakes. See you Monday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.